Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or discuss your real-life issue. So we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. We all have issues in our lives, and many times we don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we are here. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. The number 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's what Peter wrote in his first letter. I love this passage. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again. We're born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hope is what we so desperately need in life. I know, Richard, so many people come to you for counsel either by phone or through email or face-to-face. And, you know, they come in because they have no hope. They're in this situation. They're in a circumstance. And they don't know their way out. And hope is starting to fade. And one of the first things you have to do is to infuse hope into that situation.
Yeah, you do. And it's always surprising to them the first time they go through the process, in that your hope isn't based on any skills you have, any abilities you have, any of your background or your money or anything else. It is based solely in Jesus Christ, because He raised from the dead. If you don't get that, you can't have the hope that you need.
That's exactly right. And that spells itself out in our relationships as well. A lot of times the situations that we're in that we don't know the way out are relationship situations. It could be a marriage. It could be a mother-daughter, father-son type of thing. And it's gotten so volatile and so, just yucky. You just don't know the way out. And you're looking for some hope. You're looking for a reason to keep hanging on, to keep moving forward. And that hope for believers is Jesus Christ Himself, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if you're in a relationship and both are Christians, you have Jesus Christ right there. Jesus Christ lives in the person you're related to, and for them, Jesus Christ lives in the person they're related to. And so you have to step back and say, if there's hope for this relationship, if there's hope for this relationship to grow strong, then we have to trust Jesus to bring that about. That's where our hope lies. And we've been born again into that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why this gospel message is so important. That's why it's so deeply impactful for every area of life, because it brings to us the things that we need for daily living.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. We're glad you've joined us for this edition. Calls beginning to come in and fill up the board, but still plenty of room for you to come in and be a part of the broadcast. 1-800-677-9377 in U.S. and Canada. Toll free, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Bronxville, New York, and talk with Lori, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Bob. Good afternoon to you, gentlemen and brothers. I have kind of a confusing passage that I'd like for you to explain, perhaps, if you can. It's found in Exodus 4, verse 24 and 25, where I believe Moses, the Lord wanted to actually kill Moses. And I was just wondering, since he was chosen of God to bring Israel out of Egypt, why would he want to slay Moses? I will take your answer off the air, and have a great afternoon, and thank you.
Well, thank you for your call, Lori. We certainly appreciate the question. And Richard, what do you say about that particular passage? It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And if you just take it right there, just those two verses, you go, uh-oh. Well, the whole story is what's important. You know, Moses was being called to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. God was getting ready to bring in a brand new covenant for these people called the Mosaic Covenant through the Levitical priesthood that hadn't been set up yet, but had been identified even back when Jacob was blessing his sons. And the people of God were identified by circumcision. And Moses had failed to identify his own son as a member of the people of God. And you know, here he's been talking to God and getting ready to go into Egypt and talk with Pharaoh, and God says, well, wait a minute. You know, are you one of my people or not? You know, and that's how directly God worked with them in those days.
And circumcision was the sign that identified people with God. It was given to Abraham first.
Yes.
He circumcised Ishmael, and then he circumcised Isaac, and that was passed on. And here Moses was refusing to do that or forgot to do that.
Yeah.
And so he was saying, hey, we're not of you, God. We're not a part of your people. And so God was taking steps, and I think Moses got the message and
did what was needed to be done. It's fascinating that Zipporah, his wife, is the one who had to save the day.
Right.
She understood better than Moses himself did in that moment.
Yes, indeed. Well, Lori, hope that helps. We certainly appreciate your call. Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Dorothy, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Bob Christopher. It's such a delight to talk to you all. I really enjoy your program, and I listen to it every day.
Well, that's wonderful, Dorothy. We're so glad that you do, and thanks for letting us be a part of your daily life. We appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I have a comment about the book Love Is.
Okay.
I just was reading it a little before your program came on. And I was reading about God keeps no records of wrongs.
Yes, ma'am.
And I thought that was it gave me such hope and such relief. And it was just a comfort to me to read that. And the whole book is so good. I just hope everyone gets a copy of it that listens to the program.
Well, Dorothy, thank you so much for
saying that.
I hope everybody will get a copy as well. And I think that that particular aspect of God's love is the one that really resonates in all of our hearts, the fact that he keeps no records of our wrongs. And, boy, we sure think he does, don't we?
Yes.
I know, Dorothy, growing up, I grew up in the church and accepted Christ as a seventh grader. And boy, every time I sinned, I just thought God put a mark by my name. And it was a black mark, and I had to do something to erase it. And so I thought he was keeping all kinds of records of everything I thought, everything I said, and everything I did. And boy, that just scared me terribly. I just knew at any point God was going to just unleash his anger toward me and his wrath toward me. And I just walked on eggs, just lightly, scared to death most of my Christian life as far as my teenage years were concerned. And finally I realized that Jesus had totally forgiven my sins and that God keeps no records of my wrongs. And it made all the difference in the world to me. And obviously, Dorothy, that truth is making a difference in your life as well.
Yes, it is. It's just wonderful.
Well,
and I was going to say something else. I forgot what I was going to say.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, me too. Well, Dorothy, we are so glad to hear from you, and thank you so much for calling. And again, thank you for letting us be a part of your day-to-day life, letting us kind of enter into your world via this radio broadcast. We greatly appreciate that.
Yeah. I know I was going to say that you don't have to make any more comment on is that I guess this God keeps no records of wrongs could go into relationships too, which is your subject this month.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a key element for relationships. If we're going to keep tabs on each other, then, you know, we're going to have something between us. You know, there's going to be all types of wrongs that stand between us, and it's going to be difficult to have a really healthy relationship. So we have to let go of those. That's why forgiveness is so vitally important. I think every healthy relationship, Dorothy, is built upon the foundation of God's forgiveness and our forgiveness one toward another. Without that, relationships are just impossible to carry on.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
Well, you're so welcome, Dorothy.
Thank you.
And you call anytime. We would love to hear from you.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless. Let me put you on hold.
Nice call.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Rockville Center, New York, and talk with Vincent listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, guys. How are you? God bless you.
Well, thank you. Nice to hear from you today.
Thank you. I had a question about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, when Jesus is talking about asking and seeking and knocking, and everyone who asks receives and so forth. And then he goes on to say how God gives better gifts because he's perfect if our parents know how to give us good gifts. I was wondering, when I see that, I take that as physical, like what we need here on earth, and also spiritual. We can ask and seek for that. But is Jesus talking about the things in life, basically maybe relationships or work or career, just the worries of life, right? That's what he's mainly teaching about.
Well, I think he's teaching about that, but I think he's also really making a spiritual point here, that this promise of the Holy Spirit has been out there, you know, all through Israel's history. There was this promise that God had made that at a point in time he was going to pour out his Spirit upon people. And I think that's what he's specifically talking about here. Luke records the same story, and he adds a little bit to what Jesus was saying. In chapter 11 of Luke, starting in verse 11, he says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So this point that he's making, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. That's almost a salvation message. It's something that's moving in the hearts of man to say, we need something more than what we have now. And God is the giver of all good things. And as we respond to him in faith, he gives the gift of his Holy Spirit to us to come and live inside of us and to give us brand new life. See, that's what we need, Vincent. When we come into this world, we're dead spiritually. We're separated from the life of God. And that's why there's this deep longing inside of each and every one of us. We know something's wrong with us. We know there's an emptiness to us. And so we're seeking to fill that. And at some point, we start seeking answers from God. And when we do, we get that answer. And the answer is the gift of God's Spirit to us to regenerate us, to give us new life, to raise us up so that we can walk in the newness of life.
Right. Oh, thank you. That's an excellent explanation. I was leaning more toward the things in life that we need, like food and clothing.
Well, he does address that, you know, in Matthew 6, he said, right, you know, don't worry about those things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added. See, to God, right, there's something more important that he wants us to have, and that's for us to be a part of his kingdom, to be clothed in his righteousness, to have new life. And when we have, right, those, then we can genuinely trust him for all the other needs in our life.
Right, right. If you give us salvation, what more could we ask for that would ever be more than that, that he wouldn't, you know, provide for us?
Absolutely.
I noticed one more quick comment in prayer. When it comes to praying, I've noticed in my own walk with God that a lot of times the answer to a prayer is no. So we're always thinking like, you know, God is going to say yes to this, but no is an answer, and for good reason sometimes.
And we just don't like that word no, do we?
No.
Not until we see the blessing afterwards.
Yeah, I think once we look back, we're thankful that God said no. Oftentimes, we get so caught up in our own fleshly desires and own fleshly wants, and we just think, you know, if we pray right, God's going to be obligated to say yes. But he's never fooled by our manipulations, and he says no because that's the right answer. And when we look back at that, we certainly are thankful that he said no when he did.
Yeah, today's topic of hope feeds directly into this, because when you have true hope based on the resurrection of Jesus, what that hope means is that your future is guaranteed. My future is guaranteed. When I have a guaranteed future, I can relax about my present, and that helps me think more clearly, be more content, ask for the right things, be able to listen to God as he leads me to, you know, how to work and what is necessary and all those sorts of things. It's all predicated on that guaranteed future. And once you know that your future is guaranteed, walking by faith today is a whole lot easier.
Great.
Well, Vincent, sure appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for everything you do.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Vincent.
Yeah, we sure appreciate that. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. It's just our way of saying thanks for joining us today, okay?
And that's what we do, of course, for everyone this month who gives a gift to this ministry, to say thank you. That's a copy of Bob's book, As He Said, Love Is. And we encourage you to go online and to make your gift and request your copy at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator right now, as a matter of fact, at 1-800-727-2828. That toll-free number, 800-728-2828, 727-2828, and we hope that you'll make that call right now.
Yes, indeed. And we certainly need your financial help at this time. We had a great March, a great April. May is
not so much.
Not so much. It's slow, but we're only halfway through, and there's plenty of time. And so we just want to put the need out there. We need about $90,000 between now and the end of the month to pay airtime expense and internet expense and all the things that we're involved in to get this word of God out and into people's lives. So join with us. Help to make a difference through Basic Gospel, not only in meeting our budgetary needs, but making a difference in people's lives as they respond to the good news of Jesus Christ and are connected to the love of Christ. Just as Dorothy was talking about earlier, that's an example of how your dollars are making a difference in the lives of people. So join with us. Help meet this financial need and help us continue getting this word of God out into people's lives.
Love Is, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, let's go to Andre in Staten Island, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Andre.
How you doing, sir? Do you hear my voice?
We hear it loud and clear.
Yeah, there's a new church opening up on 104 Beach Street, Staten Island. My pastor, Dave Wilk. I'm praying over here for Staten Island for a revival. I believe what's really needed is there's so many churches, but yet you see very few people going out there and giving out, you know, tracts and flyers, you know, presenting Jesus Christ to the world, you know. And I believe as a lot of people do that, you know, people will know, you know, if they continue doing that, you see, because, you know, the devil is having a field day out there. But, you know, greater is he that's in there in the world. So I'm praying for a revival, like just like 9/11. Because I remember when 9/11 happened, all the churches were out there. I'm like, wow, it was like this every day, man. You know, we would fill out the ballparks, you know. So thank you, guys. I listen to you all the time. And, you know, and I guess you could send me information, and I'll give whatever I can. You know.
Okay. Let me put you on hold, and we'll get some information from you, and we'll send you some materials that you can hand out and pass along to people that will hopefully open their eyes to the good news of Jesus Christ. We would love to do that for you.
Yeah, good stuff, Andre.
But you know what? Like I said, what's needed a revival. You know, we got to go out there and get them. Get him from the grip of the enemy. You know?
Yeah, well, throughout church history, revival has always broken out when the truth of God's grace has been delivered, has been proclaimed, and people respond. This gospel message is what brings about revival. So, Andre, just focus on proclaiming the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lift him up, and as you lift him up, he'll draw all men to himself. That's his promise.
God bless.
That's when
God
revival
bless you. Thank
happens.
You guys.
Well, thank you, Andre. You hang on. Well, let's go to Washington, D.C. and talk with Curtis, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Curtis.
How you doing? God bless you all. God bless you.
Well, thank you. So nice to hear from you from the nation's capital.
My question is this. I don't know actually where the passage is, but there's a passage where Jesus, like the guys, somebody, they were saying, Lord, did we not cast out devils? And they were talking about all these things they did in Jesus' name. But in the end, he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you're not.
That's right.
And I'm just trying to figure out if he said he didn't know them, then how were they able to cast out devils and do all these signs and wonders in his name?
Well, that's what they're claiming. But the passage starts really up in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7. That's where this passage is. And so Jesus gives out a warning to his disciples and to those who are sitting on that mount listening to him give this amazing sermon. And he says this, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. So that's the context. He's talking about false prophets. And to these false prophets who are standing before him trying to make their case for eternal life, he says, depart from me because I never knew you. All the things that they were doing were for their benefit, for their personal gain. They were self-seeking, not God-seeking. And so they were never saved. They did their works through the powers of darkness, not through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did those things, and they said they were doing it in the name of Jesus, but that was just that sheep's clothing that they were putting on all the things that they were doing. Inwardly, they were nothing but ferocious wolves.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense to you, Curtis?
So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So context, really gives the information that we need. A lot of times we look at different verses and we just hone in on one verse and just taking it face value, it becomes very confusing. Is Jesus saying that somebody who was saved can be lost? And then you back up and kind of read a larger section of the passage and you find the information that you need. And that's what this passage is all about. Watch out for false prophets. Well, Curtis, thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is, as well.
A reminder that our Bible conference, Stand 2014, is coming up June 19th through the 21st, featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher. Finding solid footing in a broken world. For information and registration, visit the website, stand2014.com. That's coming up, as I said, June 19th through the 21st. And we hope that many of you folks outside the Dallas area and all across the country, wherever you hear about this conference, will make your plans now to come and join with us. All the information is available, as I said, online at stand2014.com. We hope that you can be with us. A gentle reminder also that relationships can be challenging. They will for sure test your beliefs and reveal what's going on inside you. But when there's unity, relationships, of course, can bring meaning and joy to your life. Yet relationships will only find that unity and strength to meet the challenges when they stand on the foundation of God's love for you. And to aid your understanding, we're once again offering a great resource that's going to help you grow and live out the love of God in your relationships. It's Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, and it's yours with our thanks for your gift to help connect people with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel. Click the link at basicgospel.net or dial 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-727-2828, to make your gift and request your copy of Love Is, by Bob Christopher. Also, if you like what you hear each day on this broadcast of Basic Gospel, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.